Ah, hi everyone, let's do this. Today it's Saturday, January 19th, 2019. It's just before midday. We are at Anchor in front of the Soggy Dollar Bar in Joost van Dijk. We've been there last night, and this evening we'll be setting for Dominican Republic. But our journal last time ended in Antigua, where we are getting ready to go to Ceiba, the Kingdom of Netherlands? Yeah, I suppose. So the sail to Ceiba was an overnight sail. We had decent winds. We made a quite fast passage. We reached even seven and a half knots at times, constantly. It was a beautiful overnight sail. The only problem is that I did the full watch by myself, and towards the morning I kind of got tired and I fell asleep in the cockpit twice. During the night it was pretty quiet, very few shipping boats, you know, very few other boats will be around. So I kind of went lazy on it and fell asleep around 5 o'clock, half past four in the morning, and I fell asleep for a full hour solid in the cockpit while the boat was under sail with the autopilot on. Okay, no alarm set of any kind, and I wake up to have a hefty tanker less than a mile to my port side coming straight at me. It took me a few minutes to realize what's going on, and then I went on the radio and I called him and said, look, you are safe, I'm passing on your stern. And he did, he passed on my stern at about, you know, a quarter of a mile, I'd say. And we are not that far off the coast of St. Eustace, Statia Island. We are maybe, we are less than 10 miles of Ceiba, but pretty close to Statia. So that taught me a lesson to set up an alarm from now on. Everybody else was asleep. The children were sleeping in the V berth in the front of the boat. Claudia was sleeping in the main cabin on the port side, and I slept in the cockpit. I fell asleep on the cockpit. So that was that. Now, coming back to Antigua. The name of the young lady that I spoke to from the Delos tribe is Alexia. I don't know why I got that mixed up. And the little pretty harbor that I went shopping to with Claudia is Jolly Harbor. Okay? Now, that's hopefully it set the record straight. And another thing, we didn't explore a lot of Antigua. Actually, we didn't really explore Antigua. We just stayed in the English harbor. We went shopping one day and a little bit of beach time around English harbor. So we cannot really have a full opinion on how Antigua is. But by taking that drive to do shopping in the Epicurean supermarket, that was enough to give us a flavor of the place. And, you know, it didn't impress us. That's what I have to say. English Harbor was beautiful. Jolly Harbor, I understand, would be even nicer. But that from a yachty point of view, like you go with your boat and you're in a nice spot. But if you get outside of your harbor, of your, you leave your boat behind, you go out exploring, I don't know how much was there to explore. So, you know, I apologize if I say that I didn't really like Antigua, but that's the reason. I'm pretty sure given a chance, probably I'll find a lot of hidden beauties. So we went to Ceiba. We were told there is no anchorage in Ceiba. You need to pick up a mooring ball. We approached the harbor, the only harbor. You don't actually get into the harbor because that's only for the ferries and for the few fishing boats. So we approached the harbor and you're talking 20-25 knots of wind in front of the harbor, choppy seas. we see an orange mooring ball available. We try to get it. We lose our hook, our, you know, how you call it? Yeah, whatever, the stick with the hook at the end to pick up mooring balls, okay? We lose that over the side. We see a man from the harbor master building, like, you know, waving to us not to attach to that mooring ball after we lost our hook. So we understand, okay, that's not the spot to stop. So we keep on going behind the island a little bit more, so protected from the winds, less swell. And we pick a nice big, I think, yellow mooring ball this time. No, it was white. I can't remember. Anyway, it was white or yellow, one of them. And no, I just picked it up. This time, not the hook. I just lean from the side of the boat and pick it up with my foot and bring it to my hand and then put the mooring line through and run, reverse the boat and, you know, do the full show. And we're not even 10 inches more than a dinghy with a big outboard comes to us and says, guys, this is a diving ball, mooring ball. It's for diving boats, for dive boats. So please move to those ones that are another quarter of a mile down the side of the island and you'll find one. So I suppose these were the white mooring balls, and he said, look over there, you'll find the yellow ones, and that's are the ones that you actually are meant to moor to. And we moor to that. We had a bit of a fight on the boat because the sea's pretty choppy. Claudia tells me, look, let's not stop, let's just go straight to Saint Martin from here. I said, no, I didn't spend a full night to get here just to give up. I want to see this island. We were told by our friends Linda and Bob that from sailing Argon sailing. We are told that it's a nice island and it's well worth visiting, so let's do this, okay? I'm not gonna give up. So we prepare the dinghy and everything else, fill up the tank, and here we start motoring. We're talking about a mile and a half motoring along the coast, and when you come around the corner, you go into the chop. So Tia is screaming, Claudia is screaming because they're getting wet. David's hiding behind them. I'm just not caring. I said, okay, I'll just get wet and then what? I'll change my t-shirt because I had a dry t-shirt in my dry bag. And that's it. I told them to put a rain jacket on because I knew it was going to be wet. And everybody had a rain jacket on apart from me because I had a spare t-shirt. And we finally get to the port, into the harbor, little harbor. We tie along. We go to the immigration customs, we did the clearing in and port authorities, all those formalities. It did cost us, I don't know, about $40, everything in. I think it was $16 for the mooring ball, $20 to check in the country or the formalities, you know, something along those lines. Anyway, not hugely expensive. But for one day, you can say, you can argue it was expensive because we end up staying only one night in Ceiba, okay? And then the man from the harbor master, he calls a taxi driver. We got a lady called Lollipop. She was recommended to us. And she comes with a nice 4x4 car, I suppose, yeah. And she gave us a tour of the island. The island is small. The island of Ceiba is really small. You're talking, I don't know, 3 kilometers by 5 kilometers if you just look above on it, but it's so hilly, so mountainous that it becomes a whole country on itself just because the landscape is so abrupt. And because they don't have a harbor, they're kind of sheltered from mass tourism. They have a very small airplane where very small airplanes will be able to land. So it's a kind of odd island out in the Caribbean. You don't get that Caribbean feel, like white sand beaches and palm trees. It's just rocks high, a couple of villages, 3 villages I'd say, up in the hills. So a quite different flavor. All the buildings were the same color, white. All the roofs and the trimmings, you know, the accents around the, you know, the timber accents around the windows and all of that, were kind of reddish brick kind of color, burgundy, some people will call it. So that made for a very, very interesting, it made the island whole, so to speak. You know, you look at it and you feel, okay, there is one kind of people living here and they are very happy. That give a very nice look to the whole island, because you wouldn't see seven different colors when you look around. You don't have a red house close to a blue house, close to a green house, and then a yellow one, and then a pink one, and what we were used to see in the whole of the Caribbean before. So all the buildings were very, following the same color pattern, white, and with accents of red, and that made for a nice feel. We visited the island, we were quite impressed, with nice atmosphere. If we had to stay longer in Ceiba, that's a lot of trails through the mountains, and a few along the coast, some of them quite difficult and long, like 5-6 hours long to do. So from that point of view, it's beautiful, because the mountain is pretty high, you get to see a few different climates from the bottom of the mountain to the top. You see, the way the vegetation changes as you climb up to the mountain, and that's nice. What else? We had a beautiful burger in a restaurant. The name of the restaurant kind of escapes me right now. Maybe it'll come back to me. But anyway, beautiful burgers, about $15 a piece. So overall, we spent just shy of $150 being on that island for one afternoon, basically. We went back to the boat, Lollipop, after she let us in town to have a few hours in the Windward village, basically. And after that, she collected us and brought us back to the port, and we took the dinghy back to the boat. We had a rolly night on board. And the next morning, the plan was for me and David to go and do the ladder. The ladder is 500 steps that go from the bay that we are anchored in, because that bay used to be the old place where boats will come to provision the island. And so, because the island is so abrupt, they had this 500 steps pathway that will come from the bay out into the first village, up to the first village. And I said, okay, well, me and David were going to do that. So Claudia offered to take us with the dinghy to the shore, but we couldn't land the dinghy on the shore. The sea was rough, the shore is pebbles and a lot of stones, underwater rocks. Quite dangerous to land, like we'll smash the outboard easily, and if you don't smash the outboard, we'd probably slash the dinghy. You don't take a nice dinghy to that shore unless it's really, really calm. So after we trying, looking, assessing the situation and giving up on it, we went snorkeling. We took the dinghy to the other tip of the island, another half a mile motoring, and we did, me and David did some snorkeling. It was amazing, really, really nice snorkeling. So Ceiba is famous for diving. We are not divers, but the snorkeling in that place was really good, really good. So we did that snorkeling, and then we get back to the boat, and we set sail for Saint Martin, okay, the French side of Saint Martin. Good sail, about 5 hours sail, almost upwind at that time for us, kind of. We got into the bay, Marigot Bay. We dropped anchor, very calm, beautiful, not too deep, like around 4 meters deep, 5 meters, I'd say. And we stayed in Saint Martin for almost a week. I can't remember exactly, unfortunately. That's the problem with recording 2 weeks after the events. So we went to Saint Martin, and the reason to go to Saint Martin was to provision, because we knew BVI is going to be expensive, and very little provisioning to be done until we reach Panama, and that will be another month and a half away. So we said, okay, we'll go to Saint Martin, we'll stay for a couple of days and provision. But we got so comfortable in Saint Martin, life was so easy, the supermarkets were so good, that we end up staying, as I said, I say around 6 nights, I'd say. I think we arrived on a Friday and we left on a Wednesday or Thursday, something along these lines. So we did provisioning. We ate very well again, and at very good prices compared to the rest of the Caribbean, not to Europe, but still very good prices. We love Greek yogurt, for example, okay? And it's very hard to find good quality Greek yogurt. It's hard to find good quality yogurt full stop, let alone Greek yogurt. So we were able to buy, for example, Greek yogurt and nice butter and fresh vegetables and nice fish. So we cooked a lot. We didn't eat out. We ate out only on two occasions. One occasion was Claudia's birthday. We had a nice lunch in the Dutch side of the island on the famous shopping strip of the beach. And another time... No, I think that was the only time we ate out. Yeah, that was the only time we ate out. The rest was just cooking on board, but always nice food. What else we did? We went, as I said, to the Dutch side of the island for a bit for provisioning, but also for shopping. David and Dora got their presents both day in front of them because, you know, it's better to buy what they like instead of trying to make a surprise and figure out they don't like it. I'm talking about football shoes and runners. That was one expense. Then we end up accidentally in a jewelry shop, and before I knew it, Claudia bought some earrings for Dora and for herself. Very good quality, but very, very affordable prices. I mean, it really made sense to buy jewelry there than anywhere else we've been so far in our lifetime. For example, in Ireland, you find gold, but of a very poor quality, 9-carat gold. Here you can find gold of any purity you like, 24, 18, stuff like that. And I think she bought 18 karat gold for ridiculous price, like $50 for a pair of earrings, decent size. Now I'm wondering, where's that real gold? Okay, so that was that, and we'll stop the recording here. Few more impressions on Saint Martin. So good French bakery, good, you know, good. We like French food. That's the truth. You know, we like French food. We like French cuisine. We like French cuisine. So wherever we can get nice baguettes, nice croissants, we just go crazy for it. The croissants on the English side of the Caribbean are just a joke. They're not croissants. I mean, look at the definition of a croissant, and don't sell a bun in the shape of a croissant and call it a croissant. No, that's just something else. It's not a croissant. That's that. We spent the days going to the beach. We went to the beach where the airplanes, the airstrip for the airplanes when they land in the Saint Martin. That was for Claudia's birthday, and like you had this transatlantic big airplanes or American jets. Huge passenger airplanes, I'd say 50 meters above your head when they land on that beach. It's amazing. If you go to our Instagram account, you can see one of those pictures, and it's nothing fake about it. That's the reality. We had a great time there. What else did you do? That's it. Like, mostly shopping, a bit of beach, a bit of strolling around, a bit of swimming. Nothing major. The kids spent days and days on the internet, whatever, catching up with whatever is going on in the world. It was a good time. It was a good time, Saint Martin. Again, no exploration, nothing fantastic from a cultural point of view, apart from the food. We didn't do any other kind of trips inland. Just take the bus. We went to the Dutch side, or we went to the beach. And that's it. We only moved by bus. Decent prices, like about $2 for a bus ride. The taxis were ridiculously expensive. We did provisioning, as I said, in one of the supermarkets, which was less than a mile from the docks, from our dinghy. And the bus, the taxi driver asked us for $20 for a ride because he saw that we have a lot of shopping. So we did the provisioning, like every day we'll do a run to the supermarket with the trolley, our little foldable trolley, and we'll pile on the trolley as much as we could. We did laundry at very good prices. So just, you know, housekeeping, okay? Housekeeping and organizing. That was Saint-Martin. And from Saint-Martin, we went to British Virgin Islands, and that's a completely different story. I'm just saying that we had very little expectations for BVI, but our expectations were greatly exceeded. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. Okay, that's for now. Hey, one more more little detail that I forgot, and it's pretty important. Our rev counter on the engine, you know, the yacht, the boat engine, okay, stopped working a few, maybe a month back or so. So, and it was at the back of my mind, like, you rev the engine because we knew, like, how far we should push the handle. We kind of know, okay, if it's in this position, we have 1,500, in this position, we have about 2,000 revs, or, you know, if you push a little bit more, it's 2,200. So we kind of know, we were working the engine by our ear and by our previous experience, but it wasn't comfortable to know that the rev is not working. And I hate to let things go out of hand regarding maintenance on board. Like, you know, this fails, that the other one fails, and the other fails. Thing fails, and before you know it, the boat is in a big mess. So just about 2 nights before we left from Saint-Martin, I woke up at 2 o'clock at night, I couldn't sleep, and I start chasing the problem. The previous day I did open the board, and I checked some connections, and you know, I had a look around, and I just came across one cable that was loose. I tried to connect it back, but the rev still counter still didn't work. So that night at 2 o'clock, I wake up. I pull out the manuals and everything that I had on our Lombardini engine, and I start checking electrics diagrams and all of that. Until after about an hour and a half, I figured out what was the problem. So when everybody else on board was asleep, I pull out the tool kit, and I open the engine room, and I start working on fixing that problem, because I had to take the alternator off the engine, remake an electrical connection, and after that the rev counter worked properly. But that was like 5 o'clock in the morning when I finished this job. So everybody was sleeping, and I was working with my headlamp on in the engine room. I think that was something that's well worth mentioning. And that made me very proud of myself, because I managed to fix an electrical problem on our engine without anybody's help, and without spending any money. I had a little clip connector on board. I replaced that, bent it into a new shape to work, and that problem fixed. And as I probably mentioned before, so far we didn't have any major problems on Quo Vadis. Nothing really broke. We have a little rip in the head sail, but this is where the sombrella is, you know, the blue stripe that protects the sail from sun. So it's not like we have a rip in the sail, it's going to get bigger. It's just a little, you know, 3 inches rip in a seam. And when I have a chance, I'll get that fixed. But apart from that, the boat behaved really well. We never really push it. We are kind of conservative. We don't try to get the best speed or the fastest passage. We just try to make it comfortable and safe. And so far, that paid back. In the fact that we didn't have any major breakdowns aboard Quo Vadis. That was just the extra note. All the best.